You know what? Find a neighbor's hand. Hold the neighbor's hand. Hold the neighbor's hand. Hold the neighbor's hand. Now, one of the interesting things happening in this season is I'm intentionally, for sink or for swim, stepping back from a lot of the stuff in our house and letting, the volume was fine the way it was just now, and letting our leaders take micro responsibility in some areas. So I can look at things as a, so I can have a bit of a clearer picture from a slightly heightened perspective. And even though there are areas where sometimes that causes a problem, I don't mind the short-term problem for the long-term perspective. And one of the things that God's really been dealing with me about is the concept of culture. How you can't export a culture. Your name cannot have the word culture in it unless you first engineer internally, intentionally consistent culture. And culture can be caught, but it also sometimes has to be taught. And sometimes, not sometimes, all times, earthly cultures are manifestation of spiritual atmospheres. Now I want you to hold the neighbor's hand and pray and say, Lord, in this season, we enforce heaven's culture in our house. Open your mouth and pray. What does heaven's, keep praying, what does heaven's culture look like? It's simply called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, long-suffering, and like. It's called the gift of the Spirit, the supernatural realm, but it starts with the fruit. Say, Lord, would you build your culture in the atmosphere? It's excellence. It's service. It's commitment. It's mutual accountability. It's the absence of strife and the presence of you. Come on, somebody. Oh, 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 oh. It's praying when you're asked to pray. I repeat, it's praying when you're asked to pray. The way you would if you were asked to pray for a house or a car. It's understanding that the spirit comes before the natural. Come on, somebody. Atmospheres determine what grows. Breakthrough grows in an atmosphere. Blessing grows in an atmosphere. Increase grows in an atmosphere. Growth grows in, come on. But we gotta first put the atmosphere in the ground of the Spirit. Oh, 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 oh. Shana telemeteros. Oh, oh, oh. Yema mama me sharara nende kenenosa sontoria terere se eto e kanosha horara bos yarele dosha. Father, as we go into the rest of your this service, we go into your word, as we celebrate, as we cut loose, as we just chill out and enjoy the schedule plan for today, just a cool down day in your presence. As we cool down in the atmosphere, the background of our lives, let your power and your spirit heat up. Let the brotherly love that we chill out with form bonds, but more importantly, build altars where you fight for us in the spirit. We give you praise and glory. In the precious name of Jesus. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord this morning. Grab a seat real quick. Grab a seat real quick. I don't intend to be in your face too long. Maybe we can put the lights as well based on what we're doing today. You put lights off and you put a keyboard on and I will just go. Amen. That's a trick. If you want to stop me, just put the lights on. It's like back in the day when we used to hang in the clubs. I know many of you were born saved. Amen. Came out of your mother's womb, say shatter. Anybody went clubbing once in your life like I did? Pastor Tini, put your hand out proud. Let them see that the man of God too has a past. Amen. You know, and you know the cadence was when they wanted to kick you out, what would they do? They turned the lights on. That was the way of saying go home. So if you want me to go home, if I'm ever getting too deep, just put the lights on. Amen. Amen. And if I want to keep going deep, I'll tell you to put them back off. Okay, put our hands together for the worship team. Would you act like you mean what you're doing? First of all, if I get up just a little bit up here as well, and my bass down just a little bit, Dr. Joker will let you know, I did my best to get out of preaching today. I went to run to Nottingham, but they already had somebody on the schedule. Pastor Shepherds was preaching there today, so I didn't want to take his spot. The reason why I didn't want to preach today was I thought I am the wrongest person to put on a microphone on a day where you guys want to just chill out and do your Valentine stuff. Amen. So I asked God for grace, not to wreck it. Somebody put stretch your hand, say grace. Grace. Someone say grace. Grace. Say grace. Grace. I said, Lord, let me let them enjoy today. Let me come back next week. Stop giving me the side eyes, Sister Sherry. Oh, you're with me. Yeah. If I come and give them the eye from here. Amen. But let's get this out the way. Sometimes we get too deep in the things of the kingdom that we forget to be human. Does that make sense? And God has no problem with us having a good time and chilling out and cutting loose and cutting back. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? He has so much no problem with it that he sent this kind of weather today, but I digress. If you made it to church this morning or this afternoon, put your hands together for yourself. I'm aware of several people who were stranded based on the weather, and that's understandable. I'm looking forward to the day when we can get buses out from all around the city. If you believe that's going to happen soon, put your hands and say, yes, Lord. Come on, can you speak it into the atmosphere? Say, yes, Lord. Buses, multiple buses from all around the greater London area going to more than one spot. Because some of you guys are about to get so deep in the spirit, we can't drag you all to one place on a Sunday to listen to one person. So we just need to spread you out, give you each a mic, a pulpit, a building, some chairs, and say, do your thing. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me. You know, I told you every 10 years you got to replant your church. So this is me replanting. Okay, bless you very much. But again, I'm about to start singing, so you might want to stop that. but I'm looking forward to a church, a house in this season that is no longer getting fat on what it is being poured into, but starts to get lean, working out the keys in the gym of life and the kingdom. If you agree with me, say yes. Yes. If you agree with me, say yes.
Yes.
We've had a nice long period of 10 years in different cities to chew and chew and chew. Now it's time to grind. Someone say grind. And you will find out that if you are going to be a significant part of this house moving forwards, you will find yourself being forced to do three things. It's to be in Bible culture. Someone say in Bible culture. Scripture says that God told Abraham he was his friend because he would command his household after him. So someone say, you'll be forced. There will be nicely, subtly, but also aggressively and intentionally, you will be pushed in a certain direction of a culture of the kingdom. You will not be allowed to just fall through your own devices. You will be challenged to put the things of God first in your life. Amen. You'll be challenged to get as early to church, as you will to work or to catch a flight. And the people of God said,
amen.
Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be established. You will be shocked what will start to happen in your personal affairs when you have a small heart change to how you prioritize God and his affairs. Marry somebody who claps and everybody else is squeezing their face. Let me try this one more time. You will be shocked how God will prioritize your affairs when you have a subtle heart change to his affairs. Let me try it one more time. I said you will be shocked. You will be shocked how quickly, probably the rope should come down a bit, how quickly and how violently heaven will engage in your direction when it becomes the priority of your engagement. Amen. I could preach on that, but I won't. I'm not preaching today. Many of you, I just look at you and I just, my heart breaks. You're like hamsters on a wheel. And the faster you go, the faster the wheel goes against you. And the very reasons why, and I'm not talking about church now, I mean personal life. The very things that you are compromising to try and get ahead are the things that were designed to get you ahead. The kingdom is referred to as a sower sowing seed. There is seed, time, and harvest. And because the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, because you will reap a harvest in good time if you faint not. And this is what Satan gets many of you to do. You practice the right things for a little while. You don't see an immediate return. And you pull up the seed and abort the process, trying to do it yourself. And all you've done is opened the ground, pulled out the seed, thrown it away, and the cycle starts again. The second thing that you will be forced into is a knowledge of your God. Daniel says, and they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. How many of you want to do exploits? There's two ways to do exploits. Nobody does consistent exploits without the power of a deity. There's two ways to do exploits. You either do it under the power of Jehovah the Most High, or under the power of some other deity. Does that make sense? Yes. And you can be empowered by a deity without knowing the deity. Does that make sense? Yeah. All the other deities, don't, in fact, they don't even want you to know them because you won't like what you find. Yeah. This one says, you must know me. And no speaks about intimate knowledge. You must have... We're all grown folk or very young folk here. You must have emotional intercourse with me. There must be an exchange of hearts, minds, perspectives, priorities, and stuff of the like. And it worries me how little of the church knows their God. I repeat, it scares me in this generation. I will leave that till my next sermon, not today. I'm going to go deep next time. I'm warning you in advance. Bring an umbrella next time I'm preaching. Because I've been brooding for the last week, me and the Holy Spirit, about some stuff, Kenton. If you follow the Koinonia Launch Hour program on Wednesdays that I host on Facebook and YouTube, you got a little bit of my burden on Wednesday. Because the world is far ahead of us when it comes to driving the knowledge of their deities. Yes. And without supernatural empowerment, it will take 100 years just to reverse the last 25 years of the ground we've lost in the world. Hello, somebody. So the first thing you're going to do is what? No, what's the first thing I said we're going to force you to do? I said three things. In Bible culture, what's the second thing? Know your God. And who wants to know what the third thing is? Come back next week. All right. So I've got how much time have I got? I only need 10 minutes to do this. Come with me to Ezekiel chapter 16. Now, this is why I didn't want to do the Valentine's Day thing, because I've been brooding on Ezekiel chapter 16 and so Psalm 24. Let's do Psalm 24 real quick. If it's possible to get it on the screen, if it's not, that's fine. I'll just read it. But if I can get Psalm 24 on the screen, that will be good. Okay, so the earth is the Lord's, Jehovah's. Can I get the King James or the Holman Christian Standard Bible? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Someone say the earth. Talked about the physical ground. So what's the fullness of the physical ground? Someone say gold. Someone say silver. Someone say oil. Someone say diamonds. All those things. Someone say all them things. Say all them things. So the earth is the Lord's and everything inside it. Ain't that good to know that your daddy's rich, man? But that's not where I'm going today. The world and they that dwell therein. In essence, the systems of society and the people governed by the systems. Now, who else has a problem with that? Because I do. Because does it look like the world and the people therein are the Lord's right now? Be honest. How many of you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, outside the Christian bubble? The last 3-4 weeks, God has forced me outside my bubble on social media. And it is horrendous what's going on out there. If I showed you some of the accounts I'm following, you think I'm backslidden. And I'm having to fight daily on my knees to preserve my level of consecration because of the stream of demonic waves coming at me on there. And it's telling me this is real life outside life group. Amen. Now, the difference is we don't own this property we're in right now, but we control it. We're leasing it, right? So leasing or control and ownership are two different things. The Lord owns it. He's not controlling it. He signed the lease to Adam. Adam subleased it to Lucifer. Does that make sense? Jesus paid for the lease back. And gave us the court documents and said, go and enforce the change of lease in the legal system. If we don't enforce it, the enemy gets to keep living in it. And the people of God said, okay, keep going, keep going, keep going. I got 10 minutes, keep going. He's founded upon the sea. That's too deep for today. Today's Valentine's, whatever. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Someone say ascend.
Ascend.
Say ascend.
Ascend.
Say ascend. Talks about movement against gravity. Everywhere you see the presence of God localized in scripture, it's always up an incline. Solomon's temple was built on Mount Moriah. Moses encountered God on Sinai / Horeb. The blessings were released on Gerizim. The curses were released on Ebal. Every time you talk about a people, when Moses wants to see God, God says, come up here. When John in the New Testament has an encounter, the voice says, come up here. Does that make sense? God is trying to make a point. And this is the issue we have with seeker-sensitive Christianity in our generation. We have made the journey a slope downwards. We've taken the ark of God, put it at the bottom of the valley, and made it easy for people to just roll down. That's exactly what God wants to say. Excuse me. Love you, Sister P. Does that make sense? Are you with me, somebody? We've taken God, Kenton, we've taken the kingdom, we put it at the bottom, and we said, just roll down as you like. Just let gravity help you. How many of you know that that's not how it works?
Yes.
I told you, don't give me. I told Pastor Jockey. Anyway, I'm going to get to Valentine's Day in a second with a little twist. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will work against gravity to get into the real place where we can connect with him and live out his agenda? But then it's one thing to ascend. It's another thing to stand. So after that journey of getting up there, there's got to be the consistency to keep your place there. Talk to me, somebody. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. It also says holy place. The word holy in the Hebrew means strange, other, dimensionally.
It's not talking about morality. Morality is an off product of holiness. Holiness is not identical with morality. Does that make sense? If you're holy, you be moral. The fact that you're moral doesn't make you holy. You get that? You cannot be holy without being moral, but you can be very moral and not be holy. Holy means different. Something, yeah, there's something about this thing that's just, And God's asking a question, who's going to stand in that holy place? It then goes on, verse 4. He that has clean hands, that's the morality part. Someone's in a pure heart. How many of you think your hearts are pure? Lift up your hands. We've got one saint in the room, and the rest of us, including me, are all sinners. Good to know. I think the wrong person is preaching or pastoring this church. If you have a reordination service, let me help you out. Purity there is not talking again about morality. It's talking about concentration of content. If I wee in a cup, I hope you didn't have breakfast before you came this morning. But if I wee in a cup and give it to you, is it clean? No, it's not. No. It's not clean. It's nasty, isn't it? I've defiled the cup. That cup should be thrown away. In fact, broken, ground, shredded, powdered, and not recycled. Okay. But is it pure? Yes. It is 100% urine or urine, the way you pronounce it. It's not clean, but it's pure. Every time you see two words side by side in scripture that you think mean the same thing, for instance, Hebrews says, let's serve the Lord with fear and godly reverence. It means fear cannot mean reverence, like we've been mistaught. There's no point putting two synonyms side by side, especially if you look at the Hebrew or the Greek and they have two different meanings. So clean and pure cannot mean the same thing. They're not the same word in the Hebrew. Clean means how good is it? Pure means how much contamination. So if I put one drop of water in that cup of urine or urine, is it now pure? No, it's not. This is my worry with our generation. It then goes on to explain. Notice, clean hands, comma, right? What's comma mean in English? Means next point. But after the pure heart, there is a what? Semicolon. What does a semicolon mean? What does that mean? It means I'm about to explain. Okay, what I just said. Right? So, clean hands, but then it felt the need to explain pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul? What's your soul? Your mind, how you think, in essence, your cultural paradigm. Does that make sense? And you'd be shocked when you start to travel the world that some things that are just normal to you are the exact opposite somewhere else. There's parts of the world where if you eat and you don't belch loudly at the table, it's considered rude. You're saying to the person who cooked it, the food wasn't nice. Can you believe that? It's their culture. You have to, and then, then the cook knows, yeah, man, I threw down. I want the bake-off. Your mind, your will, means how you'd make decisions. For instance, some people could not get here this morning. They didn't have a car. It was impossible. I get that. For some other people, it was just an act of the will. Because, no, don't laugh. I'm being honest. Hitting a point here. Because the decision-making faculty is wired a certain way. Now, some of those same people with the same weather on their Valentine's Day date. Because that will become a wheel. Right? Let me explain. If you're broke and your child is, listen, you're broke and your biological child, right, tells you, mommy, daddy, I'm hungry. What do you do? You find a way. You rob someone at gunpoint if you need to. If you're broke and you walk past Sainsbury's and a stranger says, I need money to go home and buy food for my child. Is there a difference? Why is there a difference? Because of your will. And it's not wrong. It's right. You should not treat your own child with the same level of passion you would treat a stranger's child. I'm just being real. It's just, so that's an example. It's just your will. There is a subconscious wiring of your will that says, this will happen. And all of a sudden, you start to get creative. You go sell your gold trinket. You go stand in a line for manual labor. Godly manual labor. Lifting, rearing, gardening, cleaning. She's right. That word means something else in our generation, especially if you stand at night in the line, and I'll move on. But sometimes some women will do that, right? Some men now do that, and they'll tell you, I got to feed my baby. What do you say? Stay will. Captain, help me out. I'm almost done. Stay will. The final thing in your soul are your emotions. And there's a structure here. What's in your mind will eventually get into your will. So the Bible says, guard your heart. That's why, see, many of you, the best thing you can do this year is shut down social media for a few months while you figure out who you should not be following. I don't want to mention their names up here because I'm trying to dialogue with a few of them. For instance, one of them put up something yesterday that said, for those of you Christians who say God knows every moment of your life, that means he knew the moments where your husband would beat you and rape you. Please kindly explain that. So I sent a reply. I said, great question. It's a bit deeper than 140 characters can answer. Would you like to discuss this, in bracket, real conversation, not me trying to change your mind? Would you like to discuss this over Twitter, Periscope Live, or Facebook Live, or Insta Live? And then some people came for me, and in this season, I'm ready. I'm strapped. They're like, what foolishness is this kind of statement? Of course, I checked the bio, and part of the bio said atheist. I was like, oh. I said, so could it be that you really don't want an answer to that question? Just sounds nice throwing it out. I said, so mind your business. Me and the person who posted the tweet are talking. Perhaps they really want an answer. But then I see some of these posts and I see people in there egging on some stuff. And when I check their bio, it says Jesus lover. I'm like, how? The media world understands whatever hits your mind will get to your will. Many of you women, well, I don't know how many of you, but I'm sure at least one or two women know what I'm talking about. He's not my type. Let him keep talking. It's a good place to clap. He's not my type. Let that boy keep talking to you. Let him keep calling you at 1 a.m. Keep cards, keep reading his texts. Suddenly your type will start to change. Because what your mind is constantly exposed to will get into your will. She knows what I'm talking about. And eventually, what is in your will end up in your emotions. Oh, I can't believe you guys just... What is in your will end up in your emotions. And something becomes an emotion when it becomes the language of your soul. An emotion is your soul's way of telling you, this is how I really feel. It bypasses your conscious brain. Does that make sense? Talk to me, someone. Emotions are the language of your real self. And the Bible says that there's some of us who lifted up our soul to vanity. The word lifted up there is the presenting of a sacrifice to a deity. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me. The enemy says, that's fine. Don't go to church. You don't need to do all that. You don't need to pay a tithe. That system is too hard. Just give me your mind, will, and emotions in the comfort of your living room, and I'm good. And of course, when you do that, you will swear deceitfully. Because every time you come to church and lift your hands in the sanctuary and say, Jesus, I love you, you're swearing deceitfully because your soul has really been lifted up to vanity. Vanity simply means what is not eternally significant. It's vain. Amen. Someone said it's not important. And so Ezekiel 16 verse 8, as I close, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time. But there's a Valentine story there, now that I have your attention. There's a Valentine story there. If you read the first few chapters, which I don't have time to read, the Bible talks about how God is upset with his people, and he uses a metaphor to tell them how he feels. He says, son of man, confront Jerusalem with her abominations. Tell her this is what the Lord says to her. Your origin, your birth, were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite. Your mother was a Hittite. That is deep. If you're an Israelite, you know what that means. It means your source comes from people who don't have a covenant with God. It means you have no right to his goodness because you were born through a lineage that offended or offends him. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut. That's deep. Nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one cared enough for you to do any of these things out of compassion. Instead, you were thrown out into the open field because you were despised on the day of your birth. Can anybody identify with this about the life you were in before God found you? I can. And some of you living a perfect life and you just added Jesus. I was tore up from the floor up. I was broke, busted, extremely disgusted. Amen. I was bad news. And I did not have a good attitude. He says, and I passed by and I saw you squirming in your blood. As you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. I said to you, live. I made you thrive like the planting of a field. You grew up and you were matured. You became very beautiful. Your that were formed and your hair grew. But you were naked and bare. Then I passed by you and I saw you. A translation renders part as, and it was the time of love. So I spread my cloak over you and I covered your nakedness. I pledged myself to you and I entered into a covenant with you. You became mine, says the Lord. And he goes on to talk about all the Valentine presents he bought, the gold, the silver, the clothing, everything he did just to spruce that babe up. Or vice versa, sometimes it's the babe sprucing the guy up. Amen. Verse 15, but because of your fame, you trusted in your beauty and you played the harlot. You lavished your favors, and it goes on to talk about how his Valentine cheated on him. And this week, as I put on social media, as I saw all the love stuff, and you know, hey, I like a good love story myself, amen. As I saw everybody's passion and aggression and fire and zeal, you know, when I read Pastor D's, it's a couple of people in the house whose social media you want to follow. Pastor D is one of them. When I read Pastor C's Facebook post the other day, I was like, yes, say it. Female married woman. I'm like, yes, they can't come for you. You check all the, you're female, you're married, amen. So they can't say you're an old fuddy-duddy. What if we turn the same passion we do to these good but vain things?
So vain doesn't mean it's bad. It just means don't lift your soul to it. Enjoy it. Engage in it. Benefit from it. But don't make it the idol that governs your life. Because, and this is how to stop idolatry. If you're like me and you have multiple pursuits, you know how hard it is to give the same passion to two different things at the same time. So you have to schedule your week or your month or your year to say, this month is my hairdressing business month, to get it off the ground. Next month is my online coach. Does that make sense? Because it's impossible to have two idols at the same time. And if a generation of believers would treat Jehovah like their idol, if we would lift up our heart, our soul, our minds, our passions, we wouldn't have energy to idolize some of these other things. On Valentine's Day, by all means, buy a card, buy chocolate, go on a date, especially if you're a new couple. Please don't let anybody make you feel bad. Are you trying to drop a hint? Okay, just check it. Like, anybody make you feel bad about enjoying the overflow of an opportunity to remind yourselves, if you're together, how much you love each other. But don't wait once a year, first of all. If all you do is once a year, then your relationship is in pretty bad shape anyway. Secondly, if you ain't got a vow, boo, don't sweat it, man. Vow yourself. Take your... Pardon? I need another mic. Okay. Take yourself shopping. Spoil you. Save some money to put in the basket at church on Sunday. Amen. But above all, remember that there is a once and forever Valentine called Jesus. The ultimate vow gift was Him on a cross. That was Him lifting up His soul to you. So I want to ask you, as I put the mic down, how did His Valentine Day go with His bride? And what can you do to celebrate a 365 day Valentine relationship with Him? Stand with me, let's pray. I'm done. Father, I'm just wired the way I am. I just can't be anybody else. I try, but I can't. It was fine the way it was just a second ago. I try, but I can't, because there's just this wild inferno of loyalty and passion for You that will not die in me. It affects the way I see the world. Shapes my paradigm and my perspectives of life. And perhaps it's personal. Perhaps it's not for everybody. I don't know. You be the judge. But I know some of it is. Let the first pillar of our house in this season be that we are married to You. Be our lover. Be the one whose phone calls make us blush. Be the one whose presence walking through the door puts a smile on our face. Let it not be religion. Let it be passion. Let it be fire. Let it be. Father, let it be. Look, give us as leaders the job of toning down excess. Not trying to turn up passion. Let's have to bring balance to a wildfire, as opposed to trying to set a cold stove on. Come by here. Lavish us with Your gifts. You are our Valentine. We give You thanks, glory, and praise in the awesome name of Jesus. Somebody put your hands together for God this morning.